On this episode of Youth Challenge Today, what in your life cannot be moved? Find out what can't be moved and you find your God. Plus, Martin, Incognito, and the words we choose, all that and more coming right up. You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission
at gctnetwork.com. This is Youth Challenge Today, episode 14. Youth Challenge Today is part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, using new media and social networking to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com. Welcome to Youth Challenge Today. I'm Michael.
I'm Josh.
I'm JD.
That was amazing.
Awesome.
Great. Leave it on. What?
This show will what be a now? Lot better if he talks like that the whole time.
I don't have to leave it on. He talks like that naturally. That's why.
That was amazing.
Amazing. That is.
How did that do that?
Well, that is thanks to the brand new soundboard that we have here in the GCT Network studio. A few weeks ago, I had a tragedy, and I dumped an entire cup of water into my old soundboard, and
wow,
just destroyed the thing. In fact,
did it blow up? Did it do the whole spark movie thing?
It was nasty. It was nasty. I did a video about
that. You jump back, you know, and cower down like a little baby because sparks were flying.
Well, I put out an emergency distress call, and a good friend of ours, Doug Kuntz, stepped up to the plate and funded almost the entire new board here. And anyway, if you're interested, you can find out more about what happened in a video that I did called Water and Soundboards Don't Mix. Just look for that on gctnetwork.com. This is the show where we explore the things that challenge you in your day-to-day life, as well as equipping you to rise to the call of following Jesus. We'll challenge you, you challenge us, and together we'll be stronger in Him. This is Youth Challenge Today on the GCT Network.
Is your Great Commission transmission.
Gentlemen, question for you as you are mugging for the camera over there. What in your life cannot be moved? Is it sporting events, band practice, school club meetings, or the God of the Bible? When we identify what we cannot move or what cannot be moved, we identify our God. So says Patrick Mead in an article called Unmoved Gods. So let's explore those thoughts a little further.
Love that, Patrick Mead.
Yes. JD.
Got something Schwartz on sports today. Jonathan Martin and Richie Incognito. We're not going to go into a lot of detail, but obviously it's a hot topic right now and what went down between those two and the entire team of the Miami Dolphins. So we'll hit that here in a little bit.
It is in the news all over the place. Hey, do you want to open us up with a word of prayer?
Let's do it. Our Father God, we thank you for a day of life. We thank you that we can be together, that we can study your word and discuss the things of this life and how we could better serve you in this life. Bless us during this transmission. Bless us during this time. May we speak about things that will only glorify you and help us to serve you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And besides the new soundboard in here, another update for Youth Challenge Today, the actual show here, we are excited to let you know that Youth Challenge Today is now available on Stitcher, Stitcher Radio. Stitcher is an award-winning free mobile app. It's available on iPhone, iPad, Android devices. It's also integrated. This is what's amazing to me about living in the future. This app is integrated into over 4 million vehicle dashboards.
Wow.
So you sit down and on your radio device there, you can just hit the Stitcher app if you have this, and you can create playlists of tens of thousands of shows on Stitcher. You can listen anytime, anywhere, even without a Wi-Fi or cell connection. Download that app free today at Stitcher.com or in the App Store. And if you connect with your Facebook account, you can comment on our episodes, and that's really what we're excited to hear from you. Do that makes it so much easier with Facebook. So Stitcher Radio, we're happy to be a part of that.
Very cool.
Anything that you guys want to update us on?
I'd just like to know, could you make my voice sound as masculine as John David's did a minute ago?
I can,
yeah,
I can, sir.
That.
Go ahead.
Thank you now. what I'd like to say.
You know what else?
That's awesome.
That's how they make those Halloween bits, isn't it?
All I think
the haunted,
it is.
Haunted trails and haunted.
Hey,
and
I,
stuff
do,
like
I do. I did have one.
Yes, go ahead.
That's beautiful.
We represent the Lollipop Kids.
You're weird.
Hey, I did have one pretty
You're
cool
weird.
Announcement. We're going to play with this the whole time.
Yes.
What we're learning today is technology is fun.
Yeah, it is.
That's
fun.
Right.
A guy named Walter Martin. I'm dressed up a little bit more than usual. I don't even know him. Apparently an older gentleman, but he's good friends with one of my friends, Charlie Pope. And he was baptized last Wednesday, and his funeral is today. So another one of those last minute
awesome.
Workers going into the field, which
awesome.
Is just really exciting.
You know, we have that video that we pulled out of one of our episodes, and it's best baptism story ever mm-hmm. from that one. That gets a lot of views and a lot of love from people. It is so amazing, and we said it in the last time that we talked about that type of subject. What a great God,
mm-hmm.
you know. That the mm-hmm. and the parable of the workers in the field, it's just absolutely amazing, you know. And speaking of gods and what is important to
I
us,
I had one.
Well, oh, you do?
Yeah.
Please,
yeah. Y'all know Kizzy Lane? Do you remember the uh-huh. Lanes? James Lane was just baptized this past Sunday as well.
Hey,
so Kizzy about a month and a half ago, and her daddy James this past Sunday.
That's awesome.
So praise
yes.
God for
that's
that.
Awesome.
And in the words of Francis Chan, no, you don't have to apologize for that. In the words of Francis Chan, why goof around with baptism? Just go ahead and do it, right?
Simple obedience, man.
And you know, speaking of gods and our answering his call. There's this article that Patrick Mead wrote. Patrick Mead is an amazing man, and they have him going all around the country at all times. I think it might be because he's from Scotland and he has a really good accent.
Mm-hmm. Can you picture what his voice would sound like with that thing on it?
Like a wee little one. Anyway, he would... you know, he's at Lipscomb, and he's going, you know, here and there. He's from Colorado. He has a blog that everybody should read. It's called travelingmead.net. There's no E at the end of Mead. Travelingmead.net. He wrote an article called Unmoved Gods, and he started off talking about his wife as an interior decorator, and she is a great interior decorator until she comes in contact with people that are practitioners and followers of feng shui.
Feng shui.
Do you know feng shui?
That's the noodle that you eat, isn't it?
No, it is not. It is a
tasty.
It's a religious order to the universe, and you have to have things. Everything goes in a certain place, right? Or else the spirits can't move. That, you know, something's in their way.
I've heard
way.
That. In other words, things block certain
yes.
spiritualities and that sort of thing. You have a couch in the wrong place, and it doesn't allow spirituality in
Absolutely.
That room. And
so it's
things.
Not where the sweet and sour chicken goes on the buffet.
But you can imagine what
you're going to get us beat up after the show.
You can imagine how frustrating that would be for somebody that is an interior decorator. They have the eye for where everything goes, and then here comes these folks that believe in feng shui, and they say, no, the bed can't go there. It has to go over here. And the interior decorator can say,
dead people.
Why in the world would you put a bed here? That makes no sense. Or no, the lamp has to go over here. That lamp is not going to shed light on anything. It doesn't matter. Things have to, we can't move. We can't move. He goes on to tell the story of a friend of his, a doctor friend. He goes into this man's house and he sees up in the corner of the room a little makeshift altar with all kinds of idols on this, you know, Buddha and whatever you can think of, and even a cross. And Patrick says, "What's all this?" And he says, "Oh, well, that's my place of worship." He says, "I took the good from all the religions, and I left out all the bad, and I put them here." And Patrick says, "You know, some of those gods that you have here, they hate the other ones." He says, you wow. really ought to narrow it down to where you have a group that actually like each other. You really ought to rethink this. The man got upset and said, that's where they are. They're not moving.
Hmm.
Okay? So you understand the tone of his article. He had a youth minister come up to him, and the youth minister was lamenting the fact that he was asked by the leadership of the congregation that he worked at that he needed to reschedule youth activities in order for these kids to be able to go to sports and band practice and whatnot. And this youth minister, very frustrated. It's hard enough to get everybody together, is it not, guys? You guys are professionals. So the question is, if sports or band or whatever can take you away from worshiping the real God or congregating with the people that you do worship, what does that say about our God? And so, you know, he's saying this isn't a call for legalism. And he points to, like, Joseph and Potiphar's wife in Genesis 39. And we know the story of that. Joseph, he's sold into slavery. He finds favor with Potiphar, who was a captain of the bodyguard, was it? And Potiphar takes him to his house and puts him in charge of everything. I like you, Joseph. You have your act together. It's all yours. It's under your command. Whatever you say goes. And then Potiphar's wife comes up to Joseph and says, "You know, I've taken a liking to you. You know, let's do things that we shouldn't be doing." And Joseph says, "No, I'm not going to do that. Why? Because in verse 9 of chapter 39, he says, there is no one greater in this house than I, and he, Potiphar, has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" He's not saying, how can I sin against Potiphar? How can I sin against God? Because Joseph was not willing to move God.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's get to some questions here. And you guys owe, again, you're brothers. If anybody doesn't know that, hi, camera. They're both brothers, and they are both youth ministers at different congregations. JD, this is a hard subject, especially for the youth. What encouragement would you offer to a young person that has a coach or a music teacher or a theater director or even a boss that requires participation at times when the saints are meeting?
This is a tough one for several reasons. For number one, because I'm afraid that at times we do see certain scheduled gatherings of the saints as absolute mandatory, and they become legalistic when maybe God didn't intend for them to be. On the other hand, it's always good for the saints to be together. There is one prescribed day of worship in which I feel like you should absolutely never miss, and that is on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, on Sunday. I think the Bible speaks to that. I do want to read a verse before I continue to talk, because I want us to understand where we're coming from here. If you go back to Deuteronomy 4, Moses is going to say in verse 24 that God absolutely does not want any competition. He says, you should have no other gods before me. Deuteronomy 6, he would say, do not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are around you. And then in Psalm 18:31, the psalmist writes, for who is God except the Lord, and who is a rock except our God? We need to understand up front and first that God is not one that should have to compete for our time, for our efforts, for our hearts. And so the reason this is tricky is because I think it's not as much about time and place as it is about pursuit. In other words, what are you pursuing in your life, if that makes sense? I do think there's a time when it comes, I think there is a time where a young person may have to look at their coach and say, coach, I'm not going to be there, because my God is more important than this sport or whatever you fill in the blank. I do think that there comes a time when that is absolutely necessary. But I'm not sure that I can tell anybody that specific time. And I don't want you guys to think, or anybody out there to think, that I'm just skirting around the topic and the question that's thrown out. But I think it has to do with the pursuit of your heart more than anything else.
All right, let's toss a question over to Josh. And see if we can explore that a little bit further. Does being involved in extracurricular activities that take you away from scheduled assemblies of the believers put one at risk? And if so, what risk? Risk of losing your salvation?
You know, I think the key word in that phrase is the scheduled activities of the believers. And the reason I'm picking on that a little bit is because I think that maybe the scheduled activities of the believers has become such a cornerstone of what it means to be a Christian today. In other words, you punch your time clock and you're a Christian. That the scheduled activity of the believers has become the legalism that we're talking about that people rebel against. And for years it was, you are there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We grew up, I can remember two services that we missed. One was when we were visiting our uncle in Dallas, and we were at the Dallas Zoo. Do you remember this? We went to the Dallas Zoo on a Sunday. This was the first time I ever remember missing a worship service. Yeah, and we're at the Dallas Zoo. Of course, it's huge, and we didn't finish on, didn't see everything, and so we're getting ready to leave to go to church. Well, our uncle, agnostic?
Maybe
agnostic, atheist. He left the church a long time ago. And I didn't hear the conversation, but I know the conversation ended in Uncle Robert talking Dad into it wasn't a big deal, and we stayed and stayed at the zoo. And that bothered me for years. Yeah, bothered everybody in our family. That's the only time I ever remember missing. And then the next time, we did a lot of theater when we were younger, and I got a call back for a tryout, and it was a gospel meeting. And I remember my parents asking me, do you want to go to the tryout or do you want to go to the gospel meeting that night? And I felt this horrible guilt about it, and I went to the tryout, but we compromised.
Well, that one's on you, man.
Yeah, that was my decision. But they gave me the choice. But they had somebody was filming the gospel meeting, so I fell asleep watching the gospel meeting on TV.
You fell asleep?
But the reason I'm saying that bad. Schedule activities, and I went a long way around to get to this. When Christianity is punching the time clock, then it becomes a should, and people feel like, well, we should go to church versus I've got these other obligations, and then it becomes this battle of issues when Christianity is your life. That's everything, and I think that mentality changes a little bit. But now, as far as where Patrick's coming from in this article, I don't think it's our approach to it is, you need to stand up for what you believe in, and you need to make a decision, as much as pointing to what Jesus said about where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It reveals. I love the way Patrick, it reveals what your gods are. Hebrews 10:25 is the passage it gets pointed to a lot. When we're talking, and we use this to make it legalistic, you've got to be with the saints.
Yeah.
It says, verse 24, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And that's been twisted a little bit to beat people over the head for missing church services. Well, that's not right. But what is right about it is that when you are in the church, and when you understand God's love, and you understand the love that God's people are supposed to have for each other, and you've experienced that, you don't want anything else as much as you want to be with God's people, because it encourages each other, and you understand the bigger thing, and it reveals your God. So, to answer your question, is it a danger? Yes, it is, but I would say the bigger danger is that if you don't have a strong desire to be with God's people, you were in danger a long time before you ever got to that choice.
Well, and let me speak to that risk. The risk is not that God is going to strike you down because you miss one or two or three. And I'll be the first to tell you, you need to be with the saints. You know, when they're meeting, you need to be with them. But we also understand that life happens as well. And I think we need to be fair to that. I think what the risk is that it's not because God is waiting to strike you down in a legalistic fashion. The risk is that the longer you stay away from the saints, the weaker you become. That's the risk. And if you continue to forsake the assembly, as it talks about in Hebrews 10, you will lose your soul, not because you didn't show up, but because you fell out of love for God. And so that's, you know, it kind of goes back to the idea of the desire of your heart. You know, what do you want to follow? What do you want to place first? What do you want to be immovable? You know, versus what can be moved around. And one of the challenges that I've tried to give my teenagers is, you mentioned earlier, you know, we are both youth ministers. So we deal with this question on a regular basis. Early on, Man, it used to bother me if kids wouldn't show up to something that I had scheduled on the calendar. Now I feel like the best encouragement I can give them is not show up to everything that I ever put or have planned or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But it's, look, I understand you can't be at everything. Just be a Christian where right. you are. You know, it doesn't make you less of a Christian if you end up missing our in-depth Bible study on Monday night. I think you'll miss out. I think you'll enjoy it if you're there. You'll miss out if you're not there. But you can still be a Christian where you are. And that's that may be the gist of this article more than anything.
Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Now, I'm not getting out a concordance or a lexicon and looking up the meaning of these words, but I would just like to read out of the New American Standard Bible. This is the translation that I grew up with. Let's also remember that I'm reading a translation of the Bible, okay? But not forsaking our own assemblies together, as is the
habit.
What is a habit? You did it one time, you did it even five times. Is that a habit? No, a habit is something that you constantly, continually do. Do not forsake the assembly of the saints. There's a radio Bible teacher that I really appreciate that one of his sayings when confronted with this question from people is, because he is absolutely will not hold it as a legalistic, this is saying that book, chapter, and verse, this is saying if you skip out. No, he's saying there's no such thing as Lone Ranger Christians.
Right.
There is no such thing. I listened to a sermon yesterday, and it... God's providence is amazing, because I had already planned this story out and what I wanted to talk about and the points that I wanted to hit. And then I listened to another sermon last night from a church up in Murfreesboro. And the preacher, he's an amazing preacher. But he said, and this is a challenge that I'm going to take him up on. He says, I challenge you to find anything in the New Testament about worshiping God or Christian service that outnumbers the times that he says to have affection for one another.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He says, I challenge you on that. Find where he talks about prayer more, the Lord's Supper more, anything that we can, you know, singing more, anything that we consider to be the, you know, the integral ingredients of a corporate worship, he says, and the command to be affectionate with one another, it outnumbers them every time.
That's a good point.
Okay, that, you know, you want to be with believers, because he said, you know what, he says, does God need
who demands this trampling of my courts?
Okay, take this in context of what the sermon was. Does God need our Lord's Supper? No, he has Jesus with him. Does God need our songs? No, he's got the angels, you know, see, you know, does he need our prayers? He doesn't need anything from us. What we need that. Mm-hmm. We need those things. And so his anchor text was Psalm 42. And let's just read a couple of verses of Psalm 42. As the deer pants for the brooks, so my soul pants for thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Does your soul thirst for God? Okay, if it does, then you know who your God is. Mm-hmm. Anything to add to that, guys?
I would say you asked about the risk before.
Mm-hmm.
Talking to a teenager, I think at this point I would say, if you don't feel that desire, evaluate that first and evaluate your relationship with God, because there's not the desire together. Now, I would caution
I'm glad you said that.
The parents of teenagers that there is a very serious risk, and that's this. Your kids learn faith from you.
Absolutely.
And there is not a parent in one of our congregations that would not chew their kids up one side and down the other for just skipping out on a sports practice that they were committed to, or for just skipping out on a job that they needed, or how many assemblies of the saints are missed for whatever else is going on, compared to how many whatever else is going on because we want to meet together. And the reason I'm cautioning parents for that is because they may have these very well thought out things, but a kid sees we've chosen to skip this, and they learn that's what Christianity is, and it doesn't become. People talk about super bugs a lot, and the rise of MRSA and all this. This is a weird analogy, but those super bugs come because doctors prescribe antibiotics, but it doesn't kill everything off, and then they adapt a little bit, and then it's not treatable anymore. Well, I'm afraid that maybe our kids are getting exposed to just a very weak version of Christianity, a very weakened version of Christianity, and then they become immune to that, and the sin in their lives and everything else going on becomes immune to that weak version of Christianity, and they say, well, it doesn't work anyway, and then that's when they leave when they get to college because they've never actually been exposed to the real thing.
And I believe that that is the part of this subject that we will absolutely touch on in a future episode. There are so many, all the things that we talk about, there are so many dynamics, and well, what about this and this aspect? Man, Josh, you just saying that, I could launch into a whole nother story, the story about Karl Marx. Remind me to tell that sometime in relation to that type of thought. JD?
I was just going to say, before we move on, let me just wrap it up in this. God gave us the church for strength and for growth and for encouragement. And if you are never with the church, you will never strengthen your faith, you will never grow in your faith, you will never be encouraged in your faith, and you even mentioned affection earlier. Mm-hmm. You can't have affection for people that you're not around.
Right.
Be with God's people.
Amen.
That is said in the Bible over and over again. Yep. Be with God's people.
Yep.
You know.
And David's longing for worshiping God and being in the temple, and it's just, that is where God wants to show you amazing things. So is that over? Can we get up? Here he comes. Here comes JD stepping up to the plate. Here comes the pitch. It's going. It's over the wall. It's JD. No, it is Schwartz on sports. Let's go.
Here we go. Jonathan Martin, Richie Incognito. Seems like an interesting last name.
That's an awesome last name.
It is, but I wonder if it was one of those where he decided to change his name.
You know?
Chad Ocho Cinco.
Here's the deal. Both of these guys are linemen for the Miami Dolphins. Richie Incognito already has the reputation for being the dirtiest player in all of NFL, and I believe a couple of years ago that was voted on by his peers. All right. Apparently, Jonathan Martin was a little bit "quote unquote" weak in his ball playing, and so the coaches went to Incognito and said, "Toughen him up." All right. What's coming out now is that these guys had a friendship. But in the midst of this friendship, what we've continued to see through this story over the last couple of weeks is the racial slurs and bantering that Jonathan Martin had received from Richie Incognito on his cell phone, different voicemails that was left, anything from racial slur to being cussed out to even threatening his family. And of course, anybody that would hear that would say, how in the world could you do that? Why would you do that? That is completely wrong. Well, what is also coming out now, though, is that Jonathan Martin would respond in this way to Richie Incognito because of their quote-unquote friendship. What alarms me is that two grown men, if it's the case that they call themselves friends, that two grown men who are friends would even talk to each other in that way and think that it's a good thing. You know, I don't care what you think about the bullying aspect. I don't really care about either side of the story and who's right and wrong and what ends up playing out or whatever. But I'm just amazed that, and I'm amazed as a culture, I've been amazed throughout this entire story that we would try to defend one side or the other. If you pay attention to any of this at all, that people are defending either side. I'm amazed that we as a culture would act like on either side that it's okay to speak to people in this way.
Yeah.
Especially when you go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, where it says, don't say anything that would hurt another person. Instead, speak only what is good so that you can give help wherever it is needed. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4. It's not right that dirty stories, foolish talk, or even obscene jokes should be mentioned among you. Instead, give thanks to God. And of course, all of this is in the context of how to live a Christian righteous life. And I know that you know, that applies to Christians and unfortunately not to the rest of the world. But why would we think it's okay to speak to people in racial slurs, in language, in just verbal beatdowns because we're quote-unquote friends with each other? Any thoughts you guys want to throw out there?
I was just thinking while you were saying that, I read a book a couple of years ago. It was a fiction, Christian fiction novel, but there was one line in it that just really stuck with me, and I've thought about it a whole lot, and it was a guy who's a Christian, he's meeting his estranged mom, and he was doing a lot of pretty radical outreach to people and had her meet him in a bar. Whole different story, but he was genuinely reaching out to people, kind of a deal. And on the way out, some guy hit on his mom and was inappropriate toward her, and she was just so flustered because she was this good Christian lady, and he made the comment, "Why are we surprised when sinners sin?"
Yeah.
And I've thought about that a whole lot. Why, you know, sinners are going to sin. This is where we're called to be salt and light in the world, and Christians are called to be different.
Well, and I understand that, and me bringing this up is not just to jump on Cognito and Martin so harshly. You know, I understand that. But to our teenagers who are out there who may get caught up in this type of banter in the locker rooms or at school or in the classrooms and act like it's just a joke, act like it's just fun and games. Hey, the fact of the matter is words hurt.
Yep.
And at some point they will escalate to a place where feelings are hurt, emotions are hurt, relationships are broken. Not only that, but God is looking at you. Are you pleasing him with your words?
You know, we mentioned the last episode when we were talking about how we address our leaders. And this is also an ongoing theme. It is so important that us as Christians, that we are aware that our words and our actions reflect on God. They reflect on God. Let's go back to James, James chapter 3, where of course he's talking about verse 8. But no one can tame the tongue; it is a restless evil, and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. He's speaking to Christians, and we have all been in those situations in locker rooms and whatnot, and especially around males. What is it about, you know, about males and the testosterone? But let's go down to verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And if we are focused on doing those things, and yes, we're going to goof up, and yes, we're going to stumble, and one time you're going to hit your thumb with a hammer, and something's going to come out of your mouth, and you're going to say, "Where'd that come from?" Okay, things happen. But we're getting back to that passage in Hebrews. Let's not make a habit. Let's make habits out of the good things, such as James is encouraging us to do. Be pure and peaceable and gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And if your friend says to you, "Hey, it's okay if we talk to each other. It's just us. We're buddies. It doesn't bother me at all." You say, "You know what? It bothers me. It bothers me because it reflects on my God."
Take it home.
All right. Here, I got the youth challenge for the day, all right?
All right. Okay. Oh, wait. Okay. Here we go. You ready?
We ready?
You ready? Go.
We ready to wrap this one up? All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. We've been talking about things, whether it's our priorities and our time, things that we choose. Now we've just talked about a story that deals with our mouth, with our tongue. Here's what Paul says. "Don't you know that your body is a temple that belongs to the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit whom you receive from God lives in you. You don't belong to yourselves. You were bought with a price. So bring glory to God in the way you use your body."
And that is your youth challenge today. Yeah!
That's nice.
Well, that'll Give you a kick in the pants, huh?
Hey, you have been tuned in to Youth Challenge today, part of the Great Commission Transmission Network. We appreciate you tuning in. You can find all of our back episodes on the website at youthchallengetoday.com. You can send us an email to ask@youthchallengetoday.com or call into our voice line. Leave us a message. We'll play it on an upcoming episode at 507-407-GCTN. Again, that's 507-407-GCTN. Which translates to 4286. Follow us on Twitter at GCT Network. Be our friend on Facebook at facebook.com/GCT Network. You can also circle us on Google Plus, which is google.com/plus GCT Network. I'm being distracted if you're watching. I'm going to put that on the video, guys, that I'm being distracted as I'm trying to work here. google.com/plus GCT Network. But you know what? The best place to go to is the official website of the GCT Network at gctnetwork.com. That's where you can find everything that we do with links to all of those things. Look for Youth Challenge Today in the iTunes store. It is free, but you can subscribe, have all these episodes automatically set to each time one is released. Leave us a review there if you would like. We would like it, actually. And so you can find us on Stitcher Radio at stitcher.com or in the App Store. And until next time, when we are going to talk about a brand new megachurch movement, an atheist megachurch movement. All that and more next time, so stick around with us. And for myself, Michael, and JD, and Josh, the Schwartz Brothers extraordinaire, this has been your Youth Challenge Today.